Amanda Blair.
Phone 8223 0000.
1395 Adelaide 5AA.
On AM and now in digital.
Now that I'm 41, I think it's time that I turn towards success. That's what I need. I need to be a winner. And in front of me, I have the Winner's Bible written by Dr. Kerry Spackman, who is a neuroscientist. Now, this is very interesting indeed because Paul Rolfe, who is one of our interns here on the show, he's also a cricketer. He took this home and read this book because obviously cricketer, sportsman, success, 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 etc., etc. And he said, he reviewed it for us, and he said that it is one of the most fantastic things he has ever read in his life. Dr. Kerry Spackman, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
Lovely to have you here. In 50 words or less, how can I rewire my brain for permanent success and everlasting happiness?
Well, I guess the key point is that there's no shortcuts. Oh. So the first thing, no, there isn't. I mean, if there had been shortcuts, we would have all learnt them when we were born.
Exactly.
So the first thing you really need to realise is that the brain doesn't work how most people think it does. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to have what I would call almost like an MRI of your soul to actually find out who you are, how you tick. And then you need to find the right tools to fix what's going on inside there. So everyone's an individual, everyone's completely unique, and you need to really have a good look at who you are, how you work, and then use the right tools to rewire your brain for success.
So when you say an MRI of the soul, is that something that you just do personally and quietly by yourself? Obviously, there's no institute you can go to have that.
No, there isn't. And this whole process sort of came about because I was working with world elite champions, world number one, two in various sports, whether they were Formula One or Olympics or whatever. And we found that they just weren't getting the level of performance out of them that we really wanted, and there just weren't the tools available. So we sat down and said, OK, how does the brain work? And then we see what's going on inside there, and then finding the right tools. So the average person doesn't know how to do this on their own, and even champions didn't know how to do it. So I really had to make the tools up myself, and then they seem to really work.
Yeah, and Paul, who read the book, and I'm going to take it home and read it myself, he just said it was so amazing. Some of the things he loved was when you were talking about removing things from your life to allow more positive stuff to come in there. You know, he said that the book wasn't all about, you know, just chanting and sort of self-help.
No.
It was actually about making really positive quality changes to your life in order to have good things happen to you. And he said one of them he liked was when you were talking about removing low-value friends, for instance.
Yes. I mean, to be successful and happy in life, you need a variety of tools. And the tools range everything from finding what your own intrinsic drivers are, and most people don't really know what they are, to technical things on how to be more efficient in your day, to even things like removing what I call accidental hypnosis. These are things that may have happened to you when you were young, without you realizing it, that nevertheless cast a long shadow over your behavior even today, without you realizing it.
Is that things that you've inherited from your parents, the way you've been brought up?
If I can just give you a very quick example.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, imagine there's a little girl in the playground, and we'll call her Sally, and she sees a group of cool kids over in the corner there, and she calls out to the cool kids, "Hey, can I come and join you?" And one of the cool kids says, "Nah, you're too ugly, Sally." Now, at that moment, that little sentence may be burnt, seared deeply on little Sally's soul. And she may grow up for the rest of her life to think she's ugly. And in fact, I dealt with a supermodel in New York who clearly was very beautiful. Mm. She was on the front cover of Vogue, and yet she never felt beautiful because she had had a similar experience. Now, there's no point telling her over and over again that she's beautiful. She knows that logically, but she didn't feel it. And so that's what I would call an example of, in my words, accidental hypnosis. No one set out to do this, and clearly it wasn't actual hypnosis. That's just a buzz phrase I use. But nevertheless, it had a big effect on her. And so words and phrases over and over again don't help at all.
And how did you find that out from her? I mean, was it something that she'd sort of subtly hidden, you know? I mean, was that a memory that she had locked away and you unlocked it through a process?
No. Actually, knowing what was there was fairly simple for her. She knew the event very well. It was very clear. She just couldn't get rid of it. That was the problem. She could see herself in the mirror and say, "Yeah, I know I look beautiful," but the way she behaved towards boyfriends and everything exhibited the fact that she wasn't feeling beautiful. So the question was not discovering what the issue was, it wasn't hidden. The question was, how do I get rid of it for her? So it reprograms that emotional feeling, not the logical.
Wow. And these intrinsic drivers that you discuss, is that like your gift? You know how people used to talk about your gift, or, you know, mm-hmm. your reason for being here. Is that what you're asking people to tap into and to sort of almost live their passion?
There's two aspects to that. So you've touched on two. One is your gifts, your skills, the things that you're naturally good at, and those are what I would call your strengths and your skills, and understanding those is very important and how to sharpen them. But the other thing is, what are your deep down passions, the things that really drive you? And often we are only aware of the things above those. And so if I deal with, say, a businesswoman or something like that, it may be that she's become very successful, she's doing very well, earning a lot of money, but nevertheless she's not that happy about life, even though she's successful. And what I try to do is find out what's at the core of her. And often this is, people don't know how to do this properly, just introspection doesn't do it. And when I find out what's really in their core, often we can repackage those skills and those strengths that you've talked about and the things that they're very good at, combine them with a slightly different direction, and suddenly they're much happier and actually even better. So that's your sort of destiny, as it were.
Mm. And the intrinsic driver then, how's that different from that? Or is that the same thing?
The intrinsic driver is the thing that's deep in your soul that gives you incredible satisfaction when you've done whatever it is that you do. So for some person, it might just be gardening, and that may be that because they get huge satisfaction out of something being beautiful and whatever it is. For another person, it would be something completely different. For me, perfection is a real driver. I love things being perfectly organized and perfectly done. So if I ride my motorbike, for example, around a racetrack, the actual lap time doesn't really worry me. But doing the best I can, I get a real sense of satisfaction. So that's a really sort of underlying thing. And then, of course, I can apply that to many different areas.
Now, is that from your childhood? Because your father, I believe, was a successful surgeon in New Zealand, who obviously, being a surgeon, was quite into perfection himself. Is that something that you got from your childhood?
Yes, definitely. My father was a perfectionist, and he was a quite extraordinary man. But unfortunately, the net effect was that it gave me almost like a cross to bear as a human being. So I had this thing of never being good enough, and I won prizes in applied mathematics. I was ducks of my school. You know, I was clearly successful, but I was never good enough for him. This is in the early years of my first father, as it were, because he changed totally after his heart attack and became the most wonderful man in the world. But I think I inherited part of that genetically, and part of it was brought up in me. And of course, even though I was successful, I wasn't happy. So part of the book also shows you how you can suddenly be at peace with yourself. And that's really important.
It sounds fantastic. It really sounds quite interesting. Rather than, I think, a lot of books that are sort of, you know, here to improve your life, where you follow certain steps, this sounds like it actually causes you to be introspective, to know yourself a bit better, and to become a better person.
For me, it's all about giving the person who reads the book the tools, not the rules. Rules say don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. Oh, that's not very helpful at all. A tool shows you how you can change things. And, I mean, well, the book was released in New Zealand 3 months ago, and it's been number one bestseller ever since. And, you know, I'm really very surprised, actually, that we get thousands of emails, literally, from people saying this is the only book that's actually changed them. Because most books get you all motivated and rah-rahed up, but then 3 weeks later you're the same old person again, because you haven't actually fundamentally changed who you are. You may have followed a whole lot of rules, but you're still the same old person struggling along.
Paul, who reviewed the book, who's one of our interns here, he said that you're really into efficiency. And that being efficient is almost at the core of this book as well.
I think that's important because, you know, if you imagine everything that you've ever done in your life, just imagine how much that is, and we call that 100%. It would be very, very difficult for you to go to 150%, wouldn't it? You just haven't got that energy in life. But if you look at all those things you've ever done in your life and say how many of them have actually lasted and how many of them have been of actual value, maybe it's 10%. Maybe it is, I don't know. But it's easier to double that percentage from 10 to 20 than it is to double that 100 to 200, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So doubling the effort doesn't really get you there. Doubling the efficiency of the things that last, that really makes life a lot easier and more rewarding.
It sounds sensational. Obviously, all those New Zealanders that are now much happier people, that must make you feel good, being the perfectionist that you are, knowing that it's actually working.
Well, I never set out to write this book. It wasn't something I said, oh, I've got a great idea, I'm going to sit down and write this book. It was something that my elite athletes said to write, and it then ended up being used by people in the street. And I've just been really blessed to see these people change. I mean, it's just really quite amazing. It's really taken me by surprise, to be honest with you, and it is very satisfying.
And when they change and when they become all that they're supposed to be, do they become those people that you meet who just appear to be really happy in their own skin?
Well,
you know when you meet those sorts of people and they're just really happy to be who they are?
That's pretty much it, and it really is. I mean, I've been over in America for the last month or so, and I just got off the plane, and this guy walked up to me out of the blue, and he just said, are you Kerry Smack? I said, yes, and he said, just want to thank you. I've got my life back. And I thought, wow, now that is amazing.
Mm.
And, yeah, so I feel a little bit humbled by the whole thing because it really does seem to have taken off.
Well, I think it's wonderful because a lot of people do need some help sometimes, and there's no shame in actually admitting that because, as we all know, it's a very hard journey sometimes, this life thing.
Yes. Well, what the book really seems to work for is if we give a scale of 0 to 10, where 10 is the happiest person in the world, it really works for the 7 to 9s. These are the people who are already successful, already pretty happy, in a good relationship. They just want to be better. It works really well for them. And it also works very well for the 1s to 3s, the people who life has really given them a hard, old, tough time and they've given up. It doesn't seem that successful in a funny old way for the 4, 5s, and 6s, the people that are happy sitting around eating cream donuts for lunch and doing nothing with their life. But so the people who are already doing well and want to do better, brilliant. People who are really struggling, also brilliant.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to benefit from it listening today. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Kerry Spackman.
It's been a real pleasure.
And I hope you do incredibly well with the Winner's Bible. Seriously, Paul, dear Paul, our lovely intern, just said it was absolutely awesome. So if you are interested in getting a bit more out of your life, check it out. It's in all good bookstores now. The Winner's Bible. We'll be back after the news headlines.